Out this evening. Thank you for coming, and if you're joining us online, a very warm welcome to you this evening as well. Thank you for joining us, and just pray that the Lord would bless us all around his precious word this evening. Let's pray together and commit our time to the Lord this evening. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening. Father, we are humbled because, Lord, we know that we are nothing without you. And, Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace in prayer. Father, that you have an ear open to our petitions. And, Father, we don't know why, because, Lord, we don't deserve it. But, Lord, we thank you that you do. We thank you that you love us the way that you do. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. And Father, it is in his name we come to you this evening, because Father, we are made righteous through him. And Father, we pray this evening that you would just be with us, each one, gathered, whether they be at home, whether they be here in our meeting, whether they be listening at a later date. Father, we just pray that you be with each person. And Father, as we come to our title this evening, of the Lord of our daily thoughts, we pray, dear Lord, that there be real blessing through us taking time to read your word this evening. And Lord, look at it and study it. And Lord, then apply it to our lives. And Father, we do pray this evening that you would just bring us closer to yourself. Speak, Lord, we pray. Be with those who can't be with us for one reason or another, whether it be ill health or, Lord, we think of our pastor even this evening over in England. We pray, Lord, that he would know your blessing. Both him and Hazel, and as they would travel home in the next day or two, Lord, that they would also know your help and strength as they settle back here at home. Lord, we just leave ourselves with you this evening, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're coming to our second study in our little series, The Encouragements of Daily Living. And here we come to the title, as you see it up on the board, The Lord of Our Daily Thoughts. And I'm going to be very honest here. Well, I like to think I'll be honest with you, but this has really, really challenged me throughout the last number of days as I've been studying and preparing for this evening. And I just pray that it's something that you'll be able to go home with this evening as well, that there'll be things that will be said and explained this evening that the Lord will bless you through and challenge you through and maybe even rebuke you through. But whatever the case may be, that it will bring you closer to the Lord. I'd like you to turn in your scriptures this evening to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And we're going to read the first four verses. Isaiah chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this evening. Israel or Judah in these days where we're reading here in the days of Isaiah was a nation that was, and it's still, we read it of it right throughout the Old Testament, how they're in and out of the will of the Lord. They constantly turn to their own ways after the Lord blessing them, and the Lord, they come back to the Lord, then the Lord blesses them again, but then they go back to their old ways, and it's just constantly going on that way. And the Assyrians were a real threat to them in those days, when Isaiah lived. And one of the things that the Israelites were doing is to say they were constantly turning away from the Lord, coming back to him. And in this particular case, the Lord was blessing them. And in chapter 25, we would read about how the Lord had promised them victory. And then in chapter 26, we have this song of thanks. And they were praising the Lord. They were thanking him for the peace that he would provide them, because they were in anguish over all the things that were going on, the people around them, the nations around them, and they were constantly worried about what was going on. And now, God had promised them victory. You know, every day in the news, if you watch it at the minute, actually it's got to the stage where I follow it, but I try not to follow it too much because it's very depressing. You will constantly see people on the news today, and they're looking for peace talks. They're going on peace marches. They're holding peace signs. They chant for peace. Yet while we have lust, hate, and in general sin in this world, there will never be a universal peace. They will go on having or putting their own gods first before thinking about the one who can truly bring peace. And we see that every day on our TV screens, and we're seeing it more and more. Even in our own lives, we find ourselves quite often in turmoil over one thing or another, whether it be something along the lines of pressures at home, whether it be family, whether it be work, maybe it's financial. And our heads can often be in a spin. And quite often in Northern Ireland here, we'd use the phrase, my head's fried, you know. And we've all experienced it. We all know what that is. Whenever I was up in Belfast, whenever I was younger, I went to Shankill Baptist. And there were some rare people around the Shankill Road. And the young people were great. We had a great group of young people. We were all very close. And we had some really good times together. But if one of us went off on a bit of a rant or a bit of a rattle off, as such as we would say, somebody would chirp in and they would shout, and you'd hear this wee thought coming, or this wee thing being said in the background, cool the jets, or keep the wig on, wind the neck in. And that was usually because our mouths were rattling on and we weren't thinking about what we were saying. And again, we've all been guilty of it. And we all lose our patience at times, and our mind can rattle on at times as well. And we can often allow our thoughts to just go wild. And yet here it is, in this particular portion of Scripture, in verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. They're lovely to read. They're just beautiful to think about. But do we actually apply them to our lives? You see, God knows our thoughts. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. King David is giving Solomon, his son, some advice. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And whenever we come into Isaiah, we discover that there are times whenever Isaiah describes the different types of thoughts that man can have. And verse 3, it tells us about how we're to have perfect peace. I wonder, do you know what peace is? Do you know what peace is? Sometimes the kids are all running around at home. And you go, will you give my head peace? Again, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? But peace isn't necessarily stillness. Peace is the absence of discord. Whenever we start to look it up. Peace is the absence of discord. Do you know what I found very interesting whenever I thought about this? And if you're not techie or you're not into all your social media, you'll not maybe know this. But there's a social media site for young people to talk on called Discord. It's very popular. And whenever I first seen it, I was horrified. I was thinking, that's just exactly where we are in this world. Discord. And peace is the absence of discord. Absence of the wicked one moving in our lives. Movement without friction. Absence of strife. When all things work in harmony. That's where peace is. But whenever we come to our thoughts, Isaiah teaches us that there are three types of thoughts. And if we turn over in Isaiah chapter 55, so if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read a few verses there from verse 7. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. And God's word tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So there, first of all, we have the thoughts of an unrighteous man. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to your God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, just before we go on to verse 8, what we need to realize is that there are the thoughts of the unrighteous man. So if we have the thoughts of the unrighteous man, we can also take it here that there are the thoughts of the righteous man, he who has been made righteous in Christ. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Sorry about that. So here we have in verse 8, we have that there are God's thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we discover three types of thoughts, three ways of thinking. And we discover in verse 55 and verse 9, that God's thoughts are much higher than ours. But let's break it down a little bit, because let's look at, first of all, the thoughts of an unrighteous man. And can I ask you also then to turn over to Isaiah 59? Isaiah 59. And we'll start to see the effects of the thoughts of an unrighteous man. Isaiah 59, beginning to read at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockroaches' eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed out with a viper into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Your feet shall run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There's a very graphic description of the thoughts of an unrighteous man. But praise God, whenever we read verse 1 there, it tells us, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. And we need to praise the Lord this evening, that he has a hand that is not restricted by man's ways, an ear that it cannot hear. Now, it won't hear the cries of the unrighteous man unless they're coming to the Lord in repentance of their sin. Otherwise, God does not hear. Otherwise, God will not help. Because they're doing their own thing, and they will never find peace unless they come to him. Their sin separates them from God in verse 2. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity in verse 7. They know not peace in verse 8. And really, if we read in between the lines, we find that God has no use for them. And really, they have no interest where God is concerned at all. But yet, what a merciful God we have, that he is willing and able to save those who come to him. So there are the thoughts of an unrighteous man. And take note that these are the thoughts that we are to flee from. We're to flee from them. Now, whenever things happen in our own lives, what do we go and do? I think I'll go and see so-and-so for a bit of advice. I think I'll go and do this. And quite often we will go to the unrighteous man to seek advice. But let's look at the thoughts of the righteous man. We turn to Proverbs. I'm going to read the two verses. There are two different chapters, but I'm going to read two verses. One's found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5. The other one's found in Proverbs 16 and verse 3. And this is what God's word tells us. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And then whenever we go over to Proverbs 16 and verse 3, it tells us, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So our thoughts of the righteous need to be filtered through the scriptures. And whenever we think of that, can we honestly say that's what we do? One of our foster daughters in the past came off the phrase, so much that this phrase has now become one of those phrases, whenever it's said in our house, we all go, ooh, you know, we're all getting nervous because it's being said. And the phrase that was used was, I was thinking. And whenever this particular foster daughter was thinking, boy, it was some wacky ideas she used to come off with. I was thinking. We're all guilty of thinking, aren't we? I was thinking. What the foundation of your thoughts are. Are they coming from the heart? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our thoughts come from our conversations. Something that we've heard someone else say. Something that we've been out and about and we've been talking to someone and they have said this and they said that and I think this and I think that. Do they come from what we read? What do you read? Do they come from what we hear? Out and about. Watching things on social media. And then we can ask ourselves, well, where do the foundations of our thoughts come from, but what motivates our thoughts? Is it anger? Is it envy? Is it vanity? Is it money? Is it love? So, what are the foundations of our thoughts? What motivates our thoughts? And then, what are the consequences of those thoughts? So, whenever I'm driving along the road and somebody cuts me off and I get frustrated, not that this ever happens, Aaron will probably have a good laugh now, not that this ever happens, and I get frustrated. And my mind starts going off, then my mouth starts to rattle, and I start going, how dare they? Look at them. Will they drive a bit faster? Hurry up. You know, I've got somewhere to go. And as if I'm really getting anywhere faster, it will not matter. What motivates our thoughts? Is it anger? Frustration? What are the consequences then of those thoughts? And I hope I'm making you think this evening, literally think, about where your thoughts come from and what are the consequences of them. I read this story just recently about a pastor who was once preaching on a trip to America. He was on the plane ready to fly home. He had spent his time ministering to many. He was feeling really blessed by the whole experience. But while sitting on the plane, an announcement came over the speaker to say that the plane had broken down and all the passengers would have to disembark. The pilot had no idea when another plane would be available. The pastor began to get upset and quite distressed at the delay, like so many of the other passengers. That was until the Lord started to speak to him. He had been so privileged to go on such a trip. And he had been so blessed and so encouraged. And now he was letting his thoughts steal the blessing. How quick we are to react. In a particular case, when something else, the same pastor, when this, something similar happened, he ended up being stranded for a couple of days. And he phoned some guy that he was that he knew, never gone to his house, but he phoned some guy that he knew lived close. And he says, do you mind if I come over to your house and keep on the sofa for a night or two until this gets all sorted out? Little did he know that the guy that he had phoned was in great distress that evening. He needed someone. And this pastor was able to go to the house and pray with him, encourage him. You see, the Lord always knows the bigger picture. And we're so quick to rattle off and allow our thoughts to hinder the blessing. Even whenever it comes to church life. Whenever it comes to church life, how often do we hear gossip stories? How often do we hear people running each other down? It's sad the way we allow our thoughts to run away with ourselves. It's sad the way that we allow our thoughts to steal the blessing. You know that pastor that had a wonderful time ministering. And whenever we come to church here, and we're really blessed through the ministry of God's word, do we allow something that we hear or say or think about to steal the blessing? No, we should never allow that to happen where God's word's concerned. You see, whenever we start thinking, our thoughts can hinder God helping us because we let our thoughts run away with ourselves. And quite often we can ruin our testimony because of that. We need to be so careful in this day and age how we speak to others, what others hear us say. It can ruin our testimonies, and it can ruin the testimony of a church. So whenever we come to our own thoughts, the thoughts of a righteous man, there are those of the unrighteous man that we need to flee from. But whenever we come to the thoughts, our own thoughts, the thoughts of a righteous man, we need to forsake these thoughts. What? We need to forsake them as a righteous man? Why should I be forsaking my thoughts? I'll tell you why we need to forsake our thoughts. We need to forsake our thoughts because they're our thoughts. They're our thoughts, not God's thoughts. Not what God wants for us. We're not filtering them through what God wants for us. The thoughts of a righteous man, Romans chapter 5, verse 19 tells us, for as by one man obedience, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But whenever we come to the Lord, and whenever he accepts us as his own, we must realize that it's not just, well, it's not about what we want. Because God's thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. You see, whenever we think of the righteous man, and we use our own thoughts, we're just like the ones that it talks about in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus did not come to save the righteous, but sinners. And it's sinners that we are. But if we think that we have got it all right in our own thoughts, we're dreadfully wrong. You see, we need to filter our thoughts through God's word. Because his thoughts are far higher than ours. So let's look at the thoughts of God. These are not thoughts that we should flee from. These are not thoughts that we should forsake, but these are thoughts that we are to feed on. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in this verse in Jeremiah, the children of Israel are in captivity, yet again in Babylon. And Jeremiah is writing to them to encourage them and to warn them not to listen to the false prophets that were in their midst. The Lord knew what was best, and that his thoughts were pure and good for his people. And that's what Jeremiah shares with those in captivity. God's thoughts are good. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, the verse that we started off with this evening in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is dead in thee because he trusteth thee. This comes from God warning his people of an impending Assyrian invasion. And here we have again God showing them that in him they will find peace. In him is where their thoughts should be. But if we want to take these two verses together, they're two very interesting verses because it tells us a lot about where the Lord wants us to be and where he wants our thoughts to be. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth thee. You see, whenever we look at these verses, we find out that his thoughts concerning us are prepared. I know, thou will keep. And there's a certainty in his thoughts. It's not, I think, or I think I know, or I know what I think. It's not maybe. It's thou will keep. It's I know. There's a certainty in his thoughts. And yet whenever we think about the certainty in God's thoughts and how prepared they are, why do we not rest on the Lord's thoughts? His thoughts concerning us are precious, according to these verses, because they're not of evil. And then it tells us whose mind is stayed on thee. There's a care behind his thoughts. If you drive up the main street there, in Tandragee, where the Bounty Chippy used to be. Not that I ever visited it. But if you know where I'm talking about. And at this present minute in time, there's a problem with the building. And you'll see those big, sort of triangular brackets holding up the walls of the building. They are stairs. They are keeping the whole thing together. They're keeping it from falling apart or from falling down. And that's why our minds need to be stayed on the Lord. This world will never provide us with thoughts that are pure, with thoughts of peace. They'll never provide us with that. Our thoughts, our own thoughts, will never do that either. But whenever we rest our thoughts and give our thoughts to the Lord, we're stead. We're secure. Whose mind is stead on thee. His thoughts are centered around us. They're centered towards you. They keep you. They keep him. It's all the verses, all the words we read, whose mind, because he, are all centered around us. His thoughts are centered around us. Why are our thoughts not centered around him? Beautiful to think about Psalm 116, verse 15, where it tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why are we so precious to him? You see, he loves us. And we're still caught up in this world. Did you ever think about who is more righteous? You know, sometimes we think we've got it all put together, whether it be us deciding to get a new car, house, whatever it be. But think about the person who doesn't have those things. Think about the person who is out in a drought-stricken land. They can barely find a sheet to put over their heads to shelter them from the sun. But they know and love the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't have the things that we are privileged to have and frankly abuse. They're not privileged the way that we are. Can we do with less? Absolutely, every day of the week. Are they closer to God? I would say they are. Because they don't have the things of this world to distract them and to pull their thoughts in one direction or another, or to watch what we watch on our TV screens and or read what we read in a magazine or whatever it is, or on our phones. They don't have those distractions. They just put their mind on the Lord. And yet we think we have it. As I say, we think. Biggest mistake we can make. See, his thoughts concerning us are prepared and there's certainty in his thoughts. The thoughts concerning us are precious. There's care behind his thoughts. His thoughts concerning us are perfect. There's a completeness behind his thoughts. You see, there's thoughts of peace to give us an expected end. There's thoughts to keep us, not just to give us a glimpse of, but to physically keep us in perfect peace. To give us an expected end. You know what an expected end is? It's a prepared end. It's an end that is perfect, that's full of hope, something that we can long for. See, God's thoughts towards us are pure. They're perfect. But whenever we come to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, whenever we read, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead in thee. Verse 3 begins and finishes with the source of perfect peace. Now, and the word Lee. Both speaking of the Lord. He is the only source. He is totally reliable where our thoughts are concerned, because he is to be trusted. And why are we to trust him? Because he is our unfailing God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, we read that it is impossible for God to lie. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 13, we read that he cannot deny himself. God is exactly who he says he is. And whenever this world fails, our God never changes or fails. He's our unfailing God. But he's also our unchanging God. Where we change our minds every 5 minutes. Remember there a couple of weeks ago, poor Hazel, she's not here tonight, but poor Hazel, the pastor was giving her some powerful abuse the other week. Whenever he was talking about her getting ready for church, and he's going, "You're fine, you're fine." And there she was trying her different outfits on, and "You're fine, you look fine." And he was telling us all about this. And how we change our minds every 5 minutes. We do. We're so guilty of it. But he doesn't change. Praise the Lord, he doesn't change. How often we fail him, he doesn't change. How often I think, he doesn't change. His thoughts are good towards us. And at this stage, we must ask ourselves the question. I'm not going to ask you the answer, but you think of the answer. Did God rule the earth before we were born? I would like to think that you'd turn around and tell me yes. Will God rule the earth when we are dead? Yes. Then why do we not let him rule the present too? Why do we not let him rule our thoughts today? And the next time somebody cuts me off, Aaron's going to rebuke me. I'm going to have to rebuke myself and say, hold on a minute. Or whenever I hear something that's wrong, I need to get out of that situation. I need to get out of that gossip. I don't want those thoughts going through my head. I want to praise the Lord for what he's done. And I want my thoughts and his thoughts to be aligned. I want him to use me. And I pray that you will want God to take control of your thoughts. And you're careful in the decisions that you make daily. The Lord of our daily thoughts. We need to make the Lord our source. The source of our perfect peace is found in the unfailing and unchanging God. Last week, we looked at the Lord of our daily focus. And at the end of the time, our time together, I read a little verse, a little poem that I'd put together. I've done the same for this evening, so we've now got two verses. And hopefully by the end of our wee time together, over the next couple of weeks as the Lord tarries, we'll have 4 verses, or maybe 5, depending. But last week, it was, "May I be daily focused, Lord, on what you desire of me. May my sight be clear. May I know you near. O Lord, may my focus be on thee." This week. "My daily thoughts, O Lord, are not filtered the way they should be. Please help me find peace of mind, so my thoughts are founded on thee." Friends, I pray that we'll think what the Lord wants us to think. Do you remember the little, used to be like little bands at bookmarks, and they would have on them WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, we need to be in a state of mind of what God wants for our lives. What God wants us to think. what God wants for us. And we need to stop abusing our thoughts. We need to stop corrupting our thoughts. And we need our daily thoughts to be exactly where the Lord wants them to be. And then you see all that turmoil will turn to peace, because we're allowing the Lord to be our stay. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, friends, the verse even ends, because he trusteth thee. That's where we need to be. Because he trusteth thee. It's simple. It's straightforward. Don't allow others to put thoughts into your head. I've heard so many people attaching their thoughts to, I think this and I think that. It's what God says. What God's word tells us. That's why it's there. And let's make sure our minds are stayed on him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge of this verse. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Simple words. Father, we don't need any rocket science. We don't need any theologian to explain these words to us. They're simple. They're straightforward. And Father, I pray this evening that you'd help us to take our eyes off man. And Father, that we would meditate day and night upon yourself, your thoughts. What's the best way for me to handle this? To leave it with the Lord. What would the Lord want me to do here? Lord, making sure that our thoughts are totally and utterly founded on thee. Lord, we do pray that you would just take what we've read this evening, take what is of man, and Lord, would you put it to the background? And Lord, that your word would shine in our lives. And Father, that we would know that perfect peace, because our minds are stayed on thee. May it not be our thoughts, but your thoughts. And Father, may we go out this evening applying your word to our lives. And Lord, we leave ourselves with you just now as we continue on in prayer, and we bring our petitions to you. For Father, it is in your name we ask these things. Amen.